Today we're going to speak about the great biblical commentary, the Ibn Ezra, Avram Ibn Ezra, born in Tudela, Spain in 1089. He passed away in 1164. He left Spain, he traveled to other countries. He lived in North Africa, England, France, and Italy. There is a tradition that he ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and he was buried in Eretz Yisrael in 2017 in the ancient cemetery of Tzfat. An impressive gravesite was discovered, and it states on the gravesite, Tziyun shel ha-yashish hechacham harofe habupak kever Avraham ben Ezra, the elderly sage, the doctor Avraham ben Ibn Ezra. This was found in the year 2017, not long ago. In any case, there seems to have been some connection between the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. The nature of the connection is not altogether clear. There's some discussion that maybe they were cousins, but it might be more than that. I mean, Sefer Yuchsin, it says that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is buried with his cousin Ibn Ezra in Eretz Yisrael. It is Sefer Maor Einai, written in the 16th century. Rav Azaria Derasi writes that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was Ibn Ezra's father-in-law. In Sefer Korei Hadoros, it also cites this position. There's another work written in 1615, which states the same thing. There is a work called Shalshelet HaKabbalah that brings a legend, which essentially he heard about how Ibn Ezra became the son-in-law of Yehuda Halevi. The story goes, according to this Shalshelet HaKabbalah, that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was working on a poem and he got stuck, and so he left the notebook open, and when he was away, he went home to dinner. By the way, Shalshelet HaKabbalah was written by Gedalia ibn Yahya in the 16th century. In any case, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, when he comes back, after he comes back from dinner, this poem was completed. And it turned out that Ibn Ezra had completed the poem. And when Rabbi Yehuda Halevi found out about this, he was so impressed that he let Ibn Ezra marry his only daughter. The problem with assuming, though, that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was the father-in-law of the Ibn Ezra was that the Ibn Ezra quotes Rabbi Yehuda Halevi many times in his works, but he never once refers to him as his father-in-law. Now, Rav Yehuda al-Khaziri writes in his Sefer Tach Kemoni, written in probably the 13th century, that Ibn Ezra had a son, Yitzchak, who was also a great poet, but he tragically left the proper path, apparently converting to Islam. In the same documents that Professor Goyton found about Rav Yehuda Halevi, he was a scholar who found documents in the Cairo Geniza, there were many mentions of a Yitzchak Ibn Ezra. And this Professor Goyton concluded that although Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was not the father-in-law of Ibn Ezra, his son Yitzchak married Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's only daughter. And this professor goes so far as to show, based on these documents, that Yitzchak and his wife, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's daughter, were supposed to follow him to Eretz Yisrael. So again, there seems to have been a family connection between Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. Was it son-in-law? Was it that Ibn Ezra's son married Rabbi Yehuda Halevi's daughter? Not so clear. In any case, Ibn Ezra wrote a famous biblical commentary to the Torah and certain other books of Nach. He's different than Rashi in that his commentary lacks Rashi's simplicity, but it's more profound and philosophical and goes into questions of grammar and rational interpretations. And it's more difficult to understand than Rashi. The Ibn Ezra brings to his commentary a massive knowledge of the Hebrew grammar, philosophy, mathematics, and astronomy. Now, the Ibn Ezra held that studying Chumash or Tanakh requires one to understand the exact meaning of the psukim, even when the result of this study conflicts with the midrashic interpretation of Chazal, and even if it does not agree with halacha. And this approach, he disagreed with Rashi and the Ramban, both of whom reject any interpretation of a pasuk that conflicts with halacha, and that Ibn Ezra was criticized for this by, for example, the Maharshal in his commentary, in his introduction to the Yamshel Shlomo commentary to Chulin. Now, not only would Ibn Ezra interpret the biblical text in a way which may conflict with midrashic interpretation or halacha, but he even made some bold claims that seem to go against fundamental principles regarding the belief of the Torah. So, for example, the Rambam believes, he writes this in his commentary on Maseches Sanhedrin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, that if you don't believe that Moshe wrote the whole Torah from God, then you're a heretic. And the standard Orthodox view is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the entire Torah to Moshe, and there is no word in the Torah that was not dictated by God to Moshe, and everything that was dictated by God to Moshe is in the Torah. Now, the truth is there's a debate in the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf, Tezvah, Medalev, as to who wrote the last eight psukim of the Torah. Rabbi Shimon held that Moshe wrote the last eight psukim, but Rabbi Huda, some say Rabbi Dechemia, said that that Yoshua wrote the last eight psukim, because why? The last eight psukim, it states that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So how can Moshe have written that he died? So Rabbi Shimon said that Moshe wrote that he died. Moshe wrote it Bidima. He was crying when he wrote this. He was in tears. But other Tanaim hold that no, Yoshua wrote these last eight psukim. So presumably, how would this fit in with the Rambam? Presumably the Rambam would hold that maybe this is an exception to the rule, but that's it. The only exception are these eight psukim. The truth is, Ibn Ezra seems to have gone against the simple understanding of the Rambam. Because number one, the Ibn Ezra in Perek Lamed Dal Pasuk Aleph writes, Vayal Moshe, Lefi Dati Ki Mizeha Pasuk Kasav Yoshua. Ibn Ezra believes that not only were the last eight psukim written by Yoshua, but the entire last chapter of the Torah, the entire 12 psukim of Perek Lamed Aleph and Parshas Vezos Habracha, was written by Yoshua. He writes, from here on in, from Pasuk Aleph, Yoshua wrote, Ki acha sha'ala Moshe lo kasav, uvederach nevua kasvo. It says Moshe never went down after he went up to Har Nevo. So if we follow the view of Rav Nechemia that Moshe did not write about events that had not yet happened, then he could also not have written these four psukim, describe his ascent to Har Nevo prior to his death. And that's why he says that this was written through prophecy, presumably the prophecy of Yehoshua. It seems here that Ibn Ezra does not agree with the Rambam taken literally. But again, maybe he agrees that the Rambam is based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Gemara and Sanhedrin that says the Torah has to be divinely inspired. The entire Torah has to be divinely inspired. But, and he says it was. The entire Torah was divinely inspired. But he argues on the Gemara and Bava Basra was more than the last eight psukim that were inspired by, that were given by Nevuah to Yeshua. He says it was the last 12 psukim. But Ibn Ezra does more than that. Because aside from the concluding verses of the Torah, there are other psukim that present no less of a problem with regard to having been written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Ibn Ezra actually addresses some of these psukim whose formulation suggests that they were written after Moshe's time. So for example, in his commentary in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, he writes that when the Torah says, Be'evar Yarden Bamidbar Barava, so the Ibn Ezra writes, Vim Tavin Sod Hashneimasar. If you understand the secret of the 12, Gam Vayichtov Moshe, also Vayichtov Moshe, Vaknani Oz Ba'aretz, Bahar Hashem Yira'eh, Vinei Arso Eres Barzel, Takir Emes. And if you understand the secret of the 12, then he cites these four other psukim. If you understand that, then you're going to recognize the truth. So what's he talking about? The Ibn Ezra's meaning here is obscure. In order to understand his intention, we must look at first at one of the psukim that he quotes. So one of the psukim that he quotes is Vaknani Az Baretz. So this is taken from Parshat Shlach Lecha. It says, Vayavor Avram Baretz. Avram pass in the land, pass through the land. Adma kom Shechem Adilon Moreh. He goes, comes to Shechem Teilon Moreh. Vaknani az ba'aretz, and the Kanani were then in the land. So Ibn Ezra tries to understand, why does it say, and the Kanani were then in the land? What does it mean they were then in the land? So he first says that maybe it means that the land of the Canaan had already been conquered from some other nation by the Canaanim. So it means that they were then in the land, that at that point they were in the land, because beforehand they weren't in the land and they had just conquered it. But then he says, "Vim einenu kein, yesh lo sod, v'amaskil yudo." But if that's not the explanation, then there's a secret. But if you're smart, if you understand, you're going to remain silent. So what's going on here? What seems to be going on here is that vaknani az ba'aretz, according to the pshat, according to the simple meaning, is what? At that point, in the times of Avram, the Canaanim were in the land, as opposed to now, when the pasuk's being written, the Canaanim are no longer in the land. And this is, and what that means is that, and when the Torah was written, of course, by Moshe, the Canaanim were in the land, because Yeshua hadn't conquered the Canaanim yet. So perhaps what this means is that the sod is that maybe this pasuk, Vaknani az ba'aretz, was written after the Torah was completed. In other words, it was written at a time after the Canaanim were wiped out in Eretz Yisrael at a later point in time. And the Torah wants to write to us to tell us that at that point the Canaanim were in the land, but not now. What is the secret of the 12 that's referred to in the Ibn Ezra's commentary in Parshas Devarim? It probably means the secret of the final 12 psukim of the Torah, that according to the Ibn Ezra were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, there is a commentary called the Tzafnas Paneach, not the, I think, 19th century Tzafnas Paneach. There's a Tzafnas Paneach, that commentary on the Ibn Ezra. This is by Rabbi Yosef ben Eliezer HaSfardi. He was one of the sages of Spain in the 14th century. And he writes, V'hu Rama Sodo B'tchilas Parshas Eilu HaDvarim. And he gave a hint to his secret in the beginning of Eilu HaDvarim, the beginning of Sefer Devarim, of Perusho. Ki Eich Amar Bekan Milas Az. How can you write the word Az? Shemashma'a Az Hayava Ata Eidaba. The word of Az, then the Canaanim were in the land. I mean, then they were, but now they're not. Hello, Moshe Kosef as a Torah of Yom of Hoysa Aris Biad Kanani. Didn't Moshe write the Torah? And in his days, the land was in the hand of the Kananim. So Nira Shalokos Moshe Zos Mila Bekan Rak Yoshua Echad Mishar Nevim Kosef. Must mean what? That Yoshua wrote this line, Vakanani Ozbarat, or someone later on. So he said, but wait a second, how can you do this? How could a Navi add to what the Torah was given? He says that the Ibn Ezra was of the view that Yesh Koach Biad Navi Lahosif Mila B'divrei Navi. The Farish Dvarav, the Navi has the power to add a word to explain. Vavki b'davar she'enenu mitzvah rak sipor devarim she'avdo lo nikrei tosef. It's not considered like you're adding to the Torah if you're merely, it's not a mitzvah, you're merely adding an explanation or adding on to a story. That's not a violation of Baal Tosef. And then the Tzavdis Panei goes on to say, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you say the whole Torah was given from heaven to Moshe except for one pasuk, then you are a violation of the Torah of Ki Devar Hashem Baza, that you're not allowed to say that the whole Torah was given to God by God to Moshe except for one pasuk. So here, Va'az Kanani Az Baret, here we're saying was not given by Moshe from God. Yesh lahashiv kize al inyan hamitzvos kasher mar lemala v'lo al sipurim. Know that the halacha that you can't say that the whole Torah was given by God to Moshe except for one pasuk. This refers to mitzvos, but maybe there could be an addition to a story by a later navi. So in other words, Ibn Ezra, at least according to Tavas Paneach, could be saying that just like the last 12 psukim of the Torah was written by someone other than Moshe, there could be additional psukim throughout the Torah scattered that come to perhaps further explain the Torah, the story, that were written after the Torah was given by Moshe. That's what he wants to argue. Now, again, according to this interpretation, Ibn Ezra maintained that throughout the Torah there are psukim, like the final verses of Devarim, were written after Moshe's death, either by Yoshua or by one of the Nevi'im. And Rav Yosef ben Eliezer explains, again, this in no way contradicts our faith, since the entire text was written through prophecy, through Nevuah. And so it doesn't make a difference if a certain pasuk was written by Moshe or by a different Navi, but nothing, but every mitzvah was given by Moshe. And by the way, this also helps us to understand the other example cited by the Ibn Ezra in his commentary in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, such as the pasuk at the end of the story of Akedas Yitzchak, where the Torah says that Avram called the name of that place Hashem Yireh, and says about a share concerning which it said today, Bahar Hashem Yireh. So what does it mean about which is said today, Bahar Hashem Yireh? The fact that the Torah says today, this would seem to refer to a later time when the place had already been chosen for the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it's called today Har Hashem, Har Hashem. This is Yerushalayim. This is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. So Ibn Ezra appears to view this verse too as a later addition that was added at a time when the Beis HaMikdash existed. Also, the Ibn Ezra mentions about the bed of in Dvarim Gimel Yud Aleph, it says, V'nei Arso Eres Barzel, the bed of Og is now only a bed of iron. So this too seems to have been written long after the death of Og. All that remains at the time of the writing is testimony to the tremendous size of his bed. And then Ibn Ezra introduces his far-reaching idea at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, because in relation to the Pasuk, which says that Moshe spoke to the Bnei Israel. This is in Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis, that Moshe spoke to Bnei Israel Be'ever HaYarden, in the other side of the Jordan River. What does it mean, the other side of the Jordan River? If at that time they were in the eastern side of the Jordan River, why is that the other side? It must be referring to, this line must be written at a time when they were on the western side of the Jordan River, and now the Torah is saying that Moshe spoke to Bnei Yisrael when they are on the other side, i.e. the eastern side. So, in other words, what appears, since Ibn Ezra is basically saying that this phrase was added by a Navi who is on the western side of the Jordan River, i.e. after Moshe Rabbeinu died, and saying that Moshe said this on the other side, on the eastern side. Again, it would seem, therefore, that according to Ibn Ezra, the Torah was not given as a fixed text with no possibility of future additions. Even after the Torah was completed by Moshe, it was still open to some limited degree, and in instances where it was of great importance to add certain comments into the text as clarification or to add depth of meaning, the Nevi'im were not prevented from introducing them. Now, Ibn Ezra's approach was so innovative and complex that he didn't express it openly so as not to lead into error those who might not understand him properly. That's why he says it's a sod, vamask, it's a secret, and vamask l'yidom, and those who understand it should remain silent, because it could lead to confusion, it could lead to error. And indeed, about 500 years after the Ibn Ezra, Baruch Spinoza in the 17th century wrote that Ibn Ezra believes that someone else wrote the Chumash. He writes in his theological political treatise with these few words, Ibn Ezra hints and at the same time shows that it was not Moshe who wrote the Chumash, but rather someone else who lived in a much later time, that the book that Moshe wrote was some other work. However, Shadal, Rav Shmuel David Luzzatto, from the 19th century, rejected this explanation. He explained that Ibn Ezra alluded that maybe there are a few additional psukim added to the Torah after Moshe's time, but nowhere in all his words is there any room to regard Ibn Ezra as not believing that Moshe wrote the entire Sefer Torah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And even the Ibn Ezra speaks against broadening the idea of later additions in the Torah. For example, in Parshas Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Vav, Psukim Lamed Aleph, Lamed Tes, there's a whole list of a bunch of kings that ruled Be'eretz Edom, Lifnei Malach, Melach Lifnei Yisrael. The Torah tells us that here is a list of kings that ruled in Edom before there was a king ruling amongst the Bnei Yisrael. And one could suggest that this unit was written in the days after there was a king amongst there, what that there was a Jewish king. Because what's the Torah saying here? That here's a list of all these kings that ruled over the Jewish people, that ruled before there was a Jewish king. So obviously this is written when? After there was a Jewish king. That's what a Karaite commentary, Yitzchaki, claims. He says this whole section was written at a later point in time. And the Ibn Ezra writes, V'Yitzchaki Amar B'Sifro Ki Mibmei Yoshafat Nichta Vazos HaParsha HaParsha Doros Kirtzodo. And he says Yitzchaki wrote in his book that this was written, this whole section was written later on in the days of Yoshafat. Hachi Karashmo Yitzchak Kolo Shemei Yitzchak Lo. That's why they called him Yitzchak, because anyone who listens to him will laugh at him. It says, Chalila, Chalila, Shadavar, Kamo Shadiber, Shadavar, Al Yimei Yoshafat, Vesifaro, Nisavarit. God forbid we should say that this section was written in the days of Yoshafat. And he says, the book of Yotzadak, of Yitzchaki, should be burnt. He rejects this. And perhaps, as the Tzafnas Paneach commented on the Ibn Ezra, he writes that perhaps Ibn Ezra is willing to accept the idea of later additions only with regard to fragments of a pasuk or a single individual psukim, but not with regard to entire textual units. Again, with the exception of the conclusion of this of the Sefer Torah, the last 12 psukim, where the addition does not occur in the midst of the text. Clearly, the Ibn Ezra rejected what Spinoza claimed that the Ibn Ezra believed. Ibn Ezra clearly believes that Moshe wrote the entire Torah from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, except perhaps with a pasuk here or a pasuk there. In any case, in sum, the Avram Ibn Ezra was an innovative biblical commentary. He explained the text even against halacha. Didn't mean that he said you shouldn't follow halacha, but he would explain the pashup shot of the text as he understood it, when just understanding what the text says, without regard to necessarily what the Midrash said, if he felt that's not the pshat. And he was even willing to assert that there were slight additions to the Torah after Moshe Rabbeinu died. But again, this was he recognized that this was a complex view, and this view was likely perhaps to be misunderstood, and therefore he only wrote this in secret.